This is Liz Siegert, one of the co-producers of HealthCetera. I'd like to introduce you to Luna Hernandez. We met this past summer at Community Health Center in Middletown, Connecticut. CHC is the only federally qualified health center to operate its own Project ECHO clinics. ECHO stands for Extension for Community Health Outcomes. It helps safety net primary care providers deliver comprehensive, integrated health services to underserved populations in their communities. And for Luna, it's a lifeline to wellness and acceptance.
I was born in November 1966. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. When I was young, I was abused at the house. I used to get a lot of beatings because I used to talk and walk and act like a girl. I was kicked out of my house when I was 13 because I was the person that I was. I've been on my own since I was 13. I have struggled a lot. I've been abused a lot.
She ended up on the streets. That's horrible at any age. But for a 13-year-old?
I'm alive by the grace of God. Because a 13-year-old child being put out in the street just because I was different. And they didn't want to understand or try to get me the help that I needed.
If she wanted to maintain contact with her family, she had to suppress her identity.
20 years ago, I had transitioned into a woman, and my family, they started to have children and all of that. And in order for me to be able to be part of those kids' life, I had to revert back. I had to change back into a male. And I did that, and I did that for 20 years. And I was sad. I was in a body that was not my body. My smile was a fake smile. It was not a happy smile. I would smile so that nobody would know my pain and what I was going through. But years passed by and everything, and all that I gave up for them, then they got out of my life. They abandoned me. They were not there with me. The love that I gave them was not given back to me. I felt alone, and I decided to transition again a year ago. So a year ago, I was a boy, but I said, enough is enough. I mean, if they're going to love me, they're going to have to accept me the way I am. This is who I am. I can't do nothing about being born in the wrong body. That's something that's out of my control. That's something that I have to live with. It's not easy because it's lonely. It's a lonely existence. Family don't talk to me. They completely said that I was dead to them, that I killed off their brother. My mother doesn't talk to me. None of my siblings talk to me. It's a lonely existence. I have my four doggies. That's my family. They're the ones that when I cry, they listen to me and they dry my tears. I find myself crying a lot. Because I'd be like, you know, this is a free world, you know. I accept everybody for who they are. All I'm looking for is for acceptance and love. That's it.
Although Luna is happy with her choice to transition, she still faces a lot of social pushback.
Sometimes when I go to places, sometimes I leave the place. If I have to urinate or something, I just explode and wait until I get home because I'm scared to which room on which bathroom I'm going to go, that if I come out of the woman's bathroom, they embarrass me in front of everybody. You're a man. You're not supposed to use this. One day before I turned to the transition, I was given this ring. And read what that ring says.
Own self be true.
To thy own self be true. And that was given to me. And I was like, that was like an upper power, something telling me, go ahead, be who you are. Because it's bad because religion don't accept us. Society don't accept us. And we're really not monsters or anything like that. And it's really, really sad to not have the support of people. And for my mother not to talk to me. And I don't have nobody. I'm alone.
Stigma is one of the greatest barriers for the LGBT community to receive health care. Luna's care team at CHC has become a valuable source of support. They don't isolate special needs populations. All services are integrated into a gender-neutral, welcoming environment. The goal is to eliminate as many hurdles as possible to receiving care.
When I got involved with the community health center, I'm HIV positive. And being that I was HIV positive, I was able to connect to good doctors. And a team that works with me now, they made sure that everything is all right with me. They made sure that I don't suffer, that I don't go hungry, that all my needs be met the best that I can, try to get the help. My doctor makes sure that I am taking the correct medications, the correct hormones. And I have a good team that works with me. My health back then wasn't that good, wasn't the best. I mean, I was lost in the street and doing drugs and all of that. But now I'm not. Now I don't do drugs no more. I'm going forward. I'm trying to stay healthy. I try to take my meds. I'm trying to stay alive for as long as I can.
Providers at CHC's 14 locations throughout Connecticut have all received Project Echo training. It's made a real difference in Luna's life and in the lives of other LGBT clients.
We need more doctors that are transgender savvy, that know exactly what we're going through, especially mentally, physically, what we deal with, so that we can be able to get the correct help that we need. We don't have that now.
Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act finally allowed single, childless adults like Luna to qualify for health coverage. They'll be among the first to feel the adverse effects of ACA repeal. Proposed changes in the health law will mean fewer federal dollars to the states, says Dr. Wanda Montalvo. She's an advanced practice nurse and policy specialist at the Weizmann Institute. That's the research center at CHC, which oversees Project Echo and other programs to transform primary care.
Right after the election, it was palpable, the concern that was raised by the clinicians, administrators, and specifically transgender patients around access to care, especially for access to their medications, for hormonal therapy, those that have access now under the ACA for Medicaid, losing that coverage. It was really amazing how quickly concerns were raised around this for a lot of the health centers around this work. And extremely concerning because, access to this population in primary care is critical and important. And in the work that we've been really doing here for this initiative is really about developing affirming environments within primary care, within our federally qualified health centers.
Any change in access to services is especially troubling for transgender women, since this population often slips off the radar.
Anytime a transgender patient has a negative experience in a healthcare environment, it really leads to prolonged psychological impact in the sense that it creates a sense of fear, of mistrust, to our medical community, and in many ways kind of feeling dismayed that they may have a medical need and because of their, gender identity might be basically dismissed as someone that, is other and not have the same rights as everyone else to healthcare. And very much here at Community Health Center, Inc., our goal and mission and belief is that, health access to health care is a right and not a privilege. It impacts the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about transgender patients such as Luna, who has been a long-standing, client of Community Health Center, Inc., any kind of sense of loss of coverage, actually is something that can sever her access and her relationship with the primary care team. Any change in the ACA that can change the eligibility criteria really has direct impact on, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people's lives in the state of Connecticut. These are all things that are, you know, again, important for us to keep on the radar and the impact that it can have if we change the ACA and access, especially for this vulnerable population, that this is the only coverage they have access to. It's not like they can afford to, you know, buy insurance.
The problem, Montalvo says, is that many in Congress just don't get it.
Maybe they believe that their heart is in the right place, you know, to give them the benefit of the doubt, but they don't have the lived experience. And they don't know what the ripple effect is when you make a decision that where, you know, last week I was able to come into my provider for primary care, their decision can mean next week I come in and I'm denied access. That's real life. Or that I can go to the pharmacy and pick up my, you know, medication for diabetes management, and last week I maybe didn't have to pay, have a copay, and this week I go show up for the same medication, and all of a sudden you're saying I have to pay $50 or $100 for the same thing that I picked up last week. That's right. Scary.
And there's a good chance that many of the gains made in caring for other at-risk populations, like poor women, children, the elderly, and the gay community, will disappear too.
We pay in the system one way or the other. Because at the end of the day, those things that are not caught early and turn into a, you know, an urgent or situation or even more chronic, they end up in our emergency rooms. They end up, you know, being admitted, and then you just have, we create the same problem we were trying to fix many years ago, where people were just, you know, coming into our ERs because they had no access. I don't want to even think about, you know, kind of losing the ground that has been made, right? So if you think about people losing access to services, the ripple effect that it has also on even our ability to provide, like, behavioral health services, right? Our ability to identify people that might be at risk for suicide. All of that is critical. You know, it's really about a holistic approach to care, and any change in access can impact that.
Montalvo says CHC is committed to serving those who need health care, regardless of federal funding changes. And while Connecticut is more LGBT-friendly than many states, Luna tells me there's much more work to do.
I do advocacy for HIV homelessness. I've talked at the state capitol. I have spoken in various city halls. I'm not scared to stand in front of nobody and speak up on this issue, because there's a lot of transgender people that would want and would love to be stand up, but they don't dare, they don't have it. So they need somebody to talk and let the world know what they're going through. And I know my work is not done yet. It's just starting. You know, so there's still a lot of bridges to cross, a lot of barriers, but I know that I'm doing it the right way, and I'm just gonna go forward with my story, because my story is not that different from any other transgender. We all live the same struggles, the same abuses.
And share a need for access to affordable, comprehensive health care, tailored to their needs.
I just hope that and wish that I can live to be who I want to be and not have to worry about society, what they got to say or not say, you know, because I'm not hurting nobody, like I said. It's just me. I'm lonely, but just because I'm lonely doesn't mean that I'm going to stop being who I am. I will continue, and I will continue advocating for the transgender community. I just want people to understand, you know, that there's a community out here. And it's a community that's not a rich community. It's people like me that are transgender that are trying to live and make the best we could out of life.
There are Project Echo programs throughout the United States. To learn more, visit the CHC website at www.chc1.com. That's CHC, the number one. .com. For HealthCetera, I'm Liz Siegert.